This is Reverend Caesar, Reverend Joseph Caesar, coming to you again one more time on BBS Radio, bringing you the good news, the best news. This is great news. Do you know that in the Ming Dynasty, you could have never been a bearer of bad news? Otherwise, you get beheaded. But I'm so glad I can bring this good news about life, good news about God and deity. I pray today's message would be a blessing to you and yours. Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do not harden your heart, because I'm going to bring such a good news. You'll be amazed. Today's message will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 1. And it reads thus: Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Today I just want to call this the exclamational promise. The exclamational promise. Looking upon his disciples with divine love and the tenderest sympathy, Christ says, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Judas had just left the upper chamber, and Christ was alone with the 11. He was about to speak of his approaching separation from them. But before doing this, he pointed to the great object of his mission. It was this that he kept ever before him. It was his joy that all his humiliation and suffering would glorify the Father's name. To this, he first directs the thoughts of his disciples, then addressing them by the endearing term, little children, endearing term. Only a father could have done that. Little children, he said, yet a little while I am with you. He shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, he cannot come. So now I am saying the same thing to you. But the disciples could not rejoice when they heard this, when they heard him say that. Fear fell upon them. So they pressed closer about the Savior, their Master and Lord, their beloved teacher and friend. He was dearer to them than life to him. They had looked for help in all their difficulties, for comfort in their sorrows and disappointments. Now, he was to leave them, a lonely, dependent company. Oh, dark were the forebodings. Dark were the forebodings. I tell you, they became all fear fell upon them. That foreboding is a fear that something bad will happen to them. That their hearts filled with fear. But the Savior's words to them were full of hope. He knew that they were to be assailed by the enemy. He knew that they were to be attacked by the enemy, and that Satan's craft is most successful against those who are depressed by difficulties. So therefore, Jesus pointed them away from the things which are seen to the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. From earthly exile he turned their thoughts to the heavenly home. Jesus keep on saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are so many mansions. Don't you think I would have told you so if it wasn't so? I am going to prepare a place for you, comforting words. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am going to come again. Big promise. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know, for your sake. Why? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For your sake. When the Father called upon him, he says, Lord, you send me. He took upon himself the form of man. And now, he's shouting victory. For your sake, I came into the world. I am walking in your behalf. When I go away, I shall still work earnestly for you. I came into the world to reveal myself to you, that you might believe. And now, I am going to go to the Father to cooperate with him on your behalf. He is now gone, but he's gone back now, cooperating with the Divine Father, making intercession for us. The object of Christ's departure was the opposite of what the disciples feared. It did not mean a final separation. He was going to prepare a place for them, that he might come again and receive them unto himself. While he was building mansions for them, they were to build characters after the divine similitude or the similar design. But still, the disciples were perplexed. Thomas, always troubled by doubts, said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, Thomas, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas, I am the way. There is no shortcut. There is no turning off exit. There is no other way. There is not jumping in front of somebody. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, Thomas, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. There are not many ways to heaven. Each one may not choose his own way. Again, Christ says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Since the first gospel sermon was preached, when in Eden it was declared that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, Christ had been uplifted as the way, the truth, and the life. He was the way when Adam lived, when Abel presented to God the blood of the slain lamb, representing the blood of the Redeemer. Christ was the way by which patriarchs and prophets were saved. He is the way by which alone we can have access to God today. If he had known me, Christ said, he should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. But not yet did the disciples understand. They did not understand that. Lord, show us the Father, exclaimed Philip, and that would satisfy us. Jesus, amazed at his dullness of comprehension, Christ ask him with pained surprise, Philip, oh Philip, 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 you mean to tell me, Philip, that after all these times I've been with you and still you don't know me? Oh Philip, is it possible, Philip, that you do not see the Father in me? Is it? Don't you see the Father, not the Father in the works? What he does through me? Do you not believe that I came to testify of the Father? So how could you say then, sure, us the Father? Philip, he that had seen me had seen the Father. Christ had not ceased to be God when he became man. No, though he had humbled himself to humanity, the Godhead was still his own. Christ alone could represent the Father to humanity. And this representation the disciples had been privileged to behold for over 3 years. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Their faith might safely rest on the evidence given in Christ's all himself he had done. Their faith might have rest on the evidence given in Christ. Christ's work testified to his divinity. Through him, the Father had been revealed. If the disciples believed this vital connection between the Father and the Son, their faith would not forsake them when they saw Christ's suffering and death to save a perishing world. Christ was just seeking to lead them from their low condition. Yes, he was seeking to lead them from their low condition of faith to experience they might receive if they truly realized that he was God in human flesh. A man of low condition, as soon as he comes to a great city, is sunk in the same crowd and similar company with conditions. So Christ, he desired them to see that their faith must lead up to God and be anchored there. How honestly and perseveringly our compassionate Savior sought to prepare his disciples for the storm of temptation that was soon to beat upon them. He would have them hid with him in God. So as Christ was speaking these words, the glory of God was shining from his countenance, transforming before him, before the crowd, before his disciples. And all present felt a sacred awe as they listened with rapt attention to his words. Their hearts were more decidedly drawn to him. And as they were drawn to Christ in greater love, they were drawn to one another. They felt that heaven was very near and that the words to which they listened were a message to them from their heavenly Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Christ continued to say, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The Savior, Christ, was deeply anxious for his disciples to understand for what purpose his divinity was united to humanity. He came to the world to display the glory of God, that man might be uplifted by its restoring power. God was manifested in him, that he might be manifested in them. Jesus, he really revealed no qualities, and he did not exercise no power, that man may not have through faith in him. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess. they will be in subjection to God as he was. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. By this Christ did not mean that the disciples' work would be of a more exalted character than his, but that it would have greater extent. He did not refer merely to miracle working, but to all that would have take place under the working of the Holy Spirit. After the Lord's ascension, the disciples realized the fulfillment of his promise. The scenes of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ were a living reality to them. They saw that the prophecy had been literally fulfilled. They searched the scriptures and accepted their teaching with a faith and assurance unknown before. They knew that the divine teacher was all that he had claimed to be. As they told their experience and exalted the love of God, men's hearts were melted and subdued, and multitudes believed on Jesus. You see, the Savior's promise to his disciples is a promise to his church to the end of time. God did not design that his wonderful plan to redeem men should achieve only insignificant results. All who will go to work, trusting not in that they themselves can do, but in what God can do for and through them, will certainly realize the fulfillment of his promise. His promise, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's what he declares. As yet, the disciples were unacquainted with the Savior's unlimited resources and power. He said to them, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Why not? In John 16:24, he explained that the secret of their success would be in asking for strength and grace in his name. He would be present before the Father to make requests for them. The prayer of the humble suppliant, he presents as his own desire in that soul's behalf. Every sincere prayer is heard in heaven, everyone. And it may not be fluently expressed, but if the heart is in it, it will ascend to the sanctuary where Jesus ministers. And he will present it to the Father without one awkward, stammering word, beautiful and fragrant with the incense of his own perfection. The path of sincerity and integrity is not a path free from obstruction. But in every difficulty, we are to see a call to prayer. There is no one living who has any power that he has not received from God. And the source where it comes from is open to the weakest human being. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Christ bade his disciples to pray in his name. He said, in my name you shall pray. In Christ's name, his followers are to stand before God through the value of the sacrifice made for them. They are all of value in the Lord's sight because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. They are accounted precious for Christ's sake. The Lord pardons those that fear him. He does not see in them the vileness of the sinner. He only recognizes in them the likeness of his Son, in whom they believe. The Lord is disappointed when his people place a low estimate upon themselves. He desires his chosen heritage to value themselves according to the price he has placed upon them. He placed such a price, Christ. God wanted them, else he would not have sent his Son on such an expensive errand to redeem them. Songwriter says, what is man that was so mindful of? He has a use for us, you and yours. He has a use for everyone, and he is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him. When we make that demand upon him, he's always pleased that they may glorify his name. That they may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. Make demands upon God, and you'll see. He said, test me now, man. Test me now. In nothing too small or too great that he can do. But to pray in Christ's name means much. It really means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his work. The Savior's promise is given on condition. On condition. If ye love me, that's what he says, keep my commandments. That's the condition. If you love me, keep my commandment. He saves men not in sin, but from sin. And those who love him will show their love by obedience. And all true obedience comes from the heart. It was hard work with Christ. And if we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to his will, that when obeying him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. The will refined and sanctified will find its highest delight in doing his service. When we know God as it is our privilege to know him, our life will be a life of continual obedience through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God. Sin will become hateful to us. And as Christ lived the law in humanity, so we must do it if we will take hold of the strong for strength. But we are not to place the responsibility of our duty upon others and wait for them to tell us what to do. We cannot depend for counsel upon humanity. The Lord will teach us our duty just as willingly as He will teach somebody else. If we come to Him in faith, He will speak His mysteries to us personally. Our hearts will often burn us as one drew near to commune with us, as He did with Enoch. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before Him, just what course to pursue. And they will receive not only wisdom, but strength, power for obedience, for service, will be imparted to them. It will be really imparted to them as Christ has promised. Whatever was given to Christ, the all things to supply the need of fallen men, was given to Him as the head and representative of humanity. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those that displease His thought. I thank You, Lord, Heavenly Father, for Your divine word. Thank You for Your power. Thank You for the ability. Thank You for Your anointing. Thank You for Your calling. Thank You for the ears which have heard, and the hearts that, Lord, listen out there. Thank You for those receptive hearts. Thank You for the radio station, for the two brothers, Don and Doug. Lord, continue to prosper them and bless them and protect them and their children. Father and God, I commit everything into Your hand. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a wonderful week. May the Spirit of the Lord be with you. Amen.